Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. Just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at Grunes.co.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play! Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
It's mailbag time. Welcome to the show, Thursday, June 18th. And we don't have Dan. Mailbag without Dan. Dave, you have to be Dan today. Dave, you have to be Dan today. Dave. Hey, Jamie.
Hey, man.
We have fake Dan. I don't know what he's doing. What's the bit here?
You were talking to me, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
Yeah. I had a IFB.
You're Dan.
I'm Dan. Hi, everybody.
You nailed it. You nailed it. Good job.
We're off to a roaring start. No, there's something wrong with my IFB and I couldn't hear you. What did you say?
I said you have to be Dan today and I thought you were doing some type of bit.
I wish I was. That would have been funny. But no, not Dan, not yet.
All right. Yesterday we did a 12-team PPR mock draft. We'll give one thought from each of us on that draft. We'll go through the news and notes, and then we'll read your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. I don't think you should type @cbsi.com. We have questions about what it takes to be a number one wide receiver, sleeper running backs, some keeper questions. Oh, good question about drop rates for Trevor Lawrence and Bo Nix. They were among the worst in the NFL and not them. Their teams were among the worst in the NFL in drop rates. The only quarterback who had a higher drop rate than those two guys, Lawrence and Nix, was J.J. McCarthy. But let's start with one thought from yesterday's draft. Jamie, first of all, not too many auto picks. Fairly smooth sailing. We started mostly on time. Kudos to you, Kamish. But give me a thought from yesterday's draft, something that stood out.
So I'll give you two because of what you just said. So just because they're funny people. Jacob and Dan, the esteemed co-hosts of Beyond the Box Score, were very excited to be the first two in the chat for the draft and saying, look, we're on time. We're ready to go. And then Jacob auto-picked his first pick. And Dan, his internet connection crashed out on his second pick. So they caught back up. We had to back out a few picks for Jacob. And he got his first pick in. And then Dan and I were on the phone a little bit for a second pick, and he got everything straightened out. But it was just so funny, especially Dan. They were so like, look, we're here. We're on time. We're good to go. And then
no, I don't understand this. It's just my internet. Why is my internet going out? I don't understand. I did everything right. And then the internet guy come yesterday. I just don't understand. All right. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
What stood out to me is the first time that I drafted 12th. And I was curious to see how it was going to work out. I was actually pretty thrilled. So I like the way that it played out, picking at the end of the first round.
And Jamie took Cook in his three receiver league, full PPR. Cook and Jefferson, Flowers and McMillan, Lamar Jackson and Tyler Warren. Who's your RB2? Chuba Hubbard, Ramondre Stevenson. Okay.
Chuba in round 8 was kind of ideal.
Yeah, that helped make your team for sure. I was surprised he went that late.
He fell. Yeah. Last pick of round 7 or first pick of round 8. You went Chuba and Ramondre Stevenson back to back. I think if you have that late pick just based on the ADP right now, you're in a good spot to get an awesome quarterback. Jamie took Lamar Jackson, 60th overall. Joe Burrow went just after that. I think Jaden Daniels went just after that. So that's kind of when that next, that second group of awesome quarterbacks is going. Well, I don't know. It's like everyone but Josh Allen, basically. Dave, one takeaway from the draft for you?
I started running back, big shockeroo. And when I got to my pick in round four, I took Ibuka as my top wide receiver in round three. Josh Allen was still there. And I thought to myself, oh, this is awesome value. Best quarterback in fantasy, slam dunk for points, and I'm getting him in the fourth round because everybody else is just too they're too into not taking a quarterback early. So I'm the one that started the quarterback run, except it didn't start a quarterback run, and there were a bunch of other really good values at quarterback later on. And it made me, like, on one hand, I'm like, oh, I should have waited a little bit longer on quarterback. And when I was up in round four, I could have had Jalen Waddle. I could have had Terry McLaurin. There were a bunch of running backs there, but what do I need another running back for? Because I had taken two with my first two picks, and there wasn't really any great tight end there that I could have taken. So I think I'm okay with Josh Allen there instead of Jalen Waddle and then switching out one of my other wide receivers later. But it made me pivot my strategy with wide receivers to going after upside. So a lot of the other receivers that I ended up taking, high upside type guys, their floors are low too. Christian Watson's on my team. Brian Thomas Jr.'s on my team. Xavier Worthy is on the roster. Maybe a couple of other wide receivers. I usually don't draft a lot of wide receivers, but I made that pivot, and now I'm looking at my roster, and I feel good at what I got. I think I got to steal a tight end with Bannon. I think that was round seven. My running backs are great. Josh Allen is awesome. That's the other side of the coin of this, is that, sure, I may have taken him first and round four was good value, and I could have gotten some other quarterbacks later, but Josh Allen, total stud. I need a lot of my wide receivers to come through. And I think if they don't come through, the team's going to struggle, but I always feel like I can find a wide receiver off the waiver wire. So hopefully a couple of those wide receivers that have the high upside make it, and they are must-start fantasy receivers. And I actually feel pretty good about Christian Watson being one of those guys.
I took AJ Brown, 17th overall with the second pick of round five. One of the reasons I took AJ Brown with the second pick of round five, Dave, you said you went running back. I didn't want to do that. I'm not opposed to running back, but when you go running back or receiver, and you get up in round three or round four, you might feel like I simply cannot take that position again. And that might be the best value on the board. So it's not I'm not saying it's wrong to do, but I wanted to avoid going running back there just in case a great running back fell to me in round three. So I'm sitting there going, do I take Amarian Hampton, Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, Rashee Rice? And I took AJ Brown, and I believe in him. I'm going to show you why with this Twitter thread that I'm going to share here. Thomas, I'm going to get rid of, thank you. Okay. I just drafted, oh, by the way, it was met with, like, incredulous, how could you comments, basically. People thought I reached for him. Someone even said Adam meant to grab Pacheco. I said, I just drafted AJ Brown. Yeah, 17th. And this is why I did it. Last year, Stephon Diggs was 31 years old coming off a torn ACL. And because there's this idea the Patriots spread the ball around so much. But they didn't. Not when Diggs was on the field. He had a 30.7% target share. Stephon Diggs was top 12 in yards per out run. Top 12 in yards per target, top 12 in first downs per target. He was great. He was targeted a lot, and he was very efficient when he was on the field. He played 55% of the snaps. AJ Brown played 90% of the snaps last year. He's going to play a lot more than Diggs played last year. We know the history of Josh McDaniels with these older wide receivers trying to kind of revive their career, and I think it's going to be a big season for him. And I just thought, you know what? Everyone else I might take has question marks too. So my message to you is, if you want to reach, the only time I consider it a reach is if ADP would suggest you can get that player in the next round. That was not going to happen with AJ Brown. He wasn't going to be there most likely for my third pick.
Not a chance.
So if you believe in that guy, you go get him. I figured out yesterday that I really believe in AJ Brown with more conviction than I thought I did. And I took him.
So he was wide receiver, what, 8, 9?
I don't know. I probably about that.
Well, I took Jefferson at 13.
Yes, 9.
Now, Nico went before those guys, so that's a little bit of a surprise.
Yeah, he and I mean, I feel about the same way about both of them. You know, I think I prefer AJ Brown. I don't even know what's
to prefer Brown to Nico.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, last week
you
I thought
Brown
I,
to Jefferson.
No, I would have taken Jefferson if he were there. Last week I said I like Nico,
but Brown essentially as wide receiver 7 then.
Eight.
Well, would you have taken CeeDee Lamb ahead of him?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting that you would take Lamb ahead of him, but not Pickens.
Yeah, I mean, I got a lot more of a track record with Lamb.
Sure, that's fair. Sure. I like your argument.
Right, you like Brown better than Pickens?
I like Brown better
than Pickens. He likes Brown better than
Pickens. I think I'm with you, too. Yeah.
And right now, I like him better than Rashee Rice. Rice, if all things were normal, I would like him better than A.J. Brown.
I think the fact that Rice seems to be avoiding a suspension, there could still be one that happens, as we are well aware with him. But if he's not suspended, I would take Rice over Brown, but I would take Brown over Nico and Pickens as well.
I feel like there's a major shortage of top-tier wide receivers this year. And some people might not see A.J. Brown in that top tier like you do, Adam. Some people might not see people would want to see Rice in that tier. But if he does have a suspension or something like that, then obviously he won't. I'm not sure if everybody's a buyer on George Pickens. I'm not sure everybody's a buyer on Nico Collins. And so it just kind of shrinks where we're at with those surefire number one wide receivers. And if you feel like you've got to get one of those guys, and I don't fault you at all if you feel like you've got to get one of those guys, you're going to have to do it with a top 15 pick.
Well,
something in that range.
It wasn't really about A.J. Brown versus the other wide receivers. It was about him versus Hampton and Barkley specifically. And you could throw Henry in there too. And that was when I just decided I don't want to go two running backs to start a PPR, a three receiver PPR league. But yeah,
I would just add that it's a bad idea. You know, if you view AJ Brown and those other running backs equally, fine, take the one you like the best. But if you think that those running backs are going to be better than AJ Brown, but you're worried about position scarcity, I think you're setting yourself up for some failure in your fantasy teams. You always want to take the player that you believe in the most early on and then worry about position stuff later on.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I don't know that I believe in the other guys. Like
that's fair.
You know, more than him.
Sure.
FFT Dynasty is an awesome podcast. Check that out. Is he back next week? I hope he's back next week. I have some good emails from the audience specifically related to Heath and some of his recent takes. He'll enjoy them. But listen to the FFT Dynasty podcast. Watch the FFT Dynasty podcast on youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. It's in our same YouTube channel. Let's do some news and notes real quick. Jaden Daniels says he has a long way to go in the new offense. And, you know, I keep mentioning it. Cam Ward, Jackson Dart, some struggles in minicamp. Jaden Daniels has a long way to go. And I think it's interesting with Jaden Daniels and Jalen Hurts. Oh, by the way, I mentioned Dart and Ward. They have new offensive coordinators. I think it's interesting, though, with Daniels and Hurts that they are going to be under center more this year. And I don't know what that's going to look like.
Well, typically it means like they're lined up against the center.
Okay, then never mind. I have no question. But, yeah, I mean, it's a big adjustment for these guys. I don't think fantasy managers are necessarily going to be like, well, he's under center more this year, so this is what I'm doing to his value. But it's something to keep in mind.
No. Can I just say something that I'll say again for several times between now and the middle of August, I guess? You're going to hear a lot with not just these quarterbacks, but with almost every quarterback in some way, shape, or form. They had a bad day at camp. They had a bad day in practice. They had a bad day this. That's because these coaches are trying things, and they're going to try to have them throw into tight windows. They're going to have them throw to receivers that they may not be used to throwing to because somebody's not there. They're going to be against maybe a great defense because they play on a great defense. They play on a team with a great defense. And so most of it, though, is about them trying throws that they may never, ever, ever, ever make in a game. Mm-hmm. And so when you see, oh, he had a 3-interception day, or he had a terrible day, or he was missing receivers, or blah, 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 please don't panic. Please don't make that the deciding factor of what you do in your fantasy drafts if you have conviction about a player, especially in situations like this where there's a change or a new coordinator or something that's just different personnel. So Drake may look miserable because he's trying to force the ball to A.J. Brown. That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing.
But what if they stack bad days?
Well, that's
now it's turned into a bad week, and now we're getting toward the end of training camp or near the beginning of week one, and there's still reports that, oh, these guys aren't on the same page, or this guy isn't practicing well. That's when I would start to get a little concerned.
I think it comes down to what your preconceived notion is about the player. So if you're in on the player and you're excited about the player, so let's go, for example, Trevor Lawrence, right? So Trevor Lawrence is in year two in the system. He's been with this receiving core for the most part since the second half of last season on. And now here comes Travis Hunter back in the mix. And so they're trying to get Travis Hunter XYZ reps and blah, blah, blah. And Trevor Lawrence has two bad days in a row. The first two practices with Travis Hunter, right?
Right.
Why did he have the bad day in practice? Was it because he was throwing to Travis Hunter, who's working his way back and maybe did not have the best day of practice himself? But the report that you're reading is Trevor Lawrence had two interceptions on a Wednesday and three interceptions on a Thursday. And then you drill down to it, and it's because he's trying to get Travis Hunter more reps. And the defense with the third string cornerback or the fourth string cornerback that's trying to either earn a starting spot or make the team is obviously overplaying certain things because he knows where the ball is going. So it's just situations like that. I think if you know, like you have a feeling on a player, you're going to probably ignore those things. If you have like a positive feeling on the player, if you have a negative feeling on the player and you're going to hear these things, well, it's just another reason to say, I'm not going to draft that guy.
Yeah,
I get it. But I would say that if you keep hearing the same thing about a player, whether it's positive or negative, it's going to stick in your head. And that's why you're absolutely right, dude. A bad day, two bad days in a row, like you brush that off like it's nothing. Almost the same way you would, this player had a great day in camp. And that it comes out of nowhere. But when you start hearing it over and over again, whether it's positive or negative, that's when I think you can buy in a little bit more.
But you're also going to hear it a lot more about the guys Adam just brought up. You know, Cam Ward's going to have a lot of bad days because he's still young and trying to figure out his own game and now a new offense. Jackson Dart is now trying to figure out a new offense and getting a lot of different things thrown at him.
Right.
Jalen Hurts is going to learn a new offense once again and now be under center. And so he's clearly one of the most polarizing fantasy options that we have. Because despite, we just had a great post on one of our social sites, I think it was on Instagram, the players that have finished top 10 at their position for the last 3 years, Jalen Hurts is one of, I think, three quarterbacks that has finished top 10 in the position in fantasy points. That being said, we still know how people feel about him, very similar to Kyron Williams. You know, so they're just polarizing guys. So you're going to maybe hear that, oh, here's Jalen Hurts. He's learning a new offense. He's under center. He doesn't have A.J. Brown. I don't want to draft him. You might miss out on a top five guy.
Of course.
Well, he went 99th in our draft yesterday, Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, that was a steal. That when I saw that happen, I was so mad about taking Josh Allen when I took Josh Allen. I would have rather had had Jalen Hurts at 99.
If you're going to take Josh Allen, you better be prepared to go, oh, man, that quarterback, it's inevitable. There's going to be quarterback value later, but you take Josh Allen for a reason. He's better than Jalen Hurts. By the way, the guy I remember all the negative press for last year, a lot of it, was Caleb Williams, second-year quarterback, getting a new offensive coordinator.
I remember it. Yeah. I wrote it.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I was there. I saw him practice.
And it scared. And honestly, it probably scared me off of him a little bit. I didn't really draft a lot of Caleb Williams. And he was good. He wasn't amazing, but 21 points per game last year, something like that.
The crazy part about it was his offensive line was so bad. And there were reports of it going into the joint practice against Buffalo, and it was bad against Buffalo. And now how do we view that offensive line? Compared to the rest of the league, like it's not one of the best offensive lines, but it's pretty damn good. So as long as they continue on that trajectory, I mean, everybody's kind of assuming that they will and that Caleb will be awesome. Everyone's drafting Caleb to be a starting fantasy QB, but that's a great example, Adam.
Rapid fire news and notes. George Pickens says he's fine playing on the franchise tag. Ladd McConkey has a strained hamstring, but he expects to be ready for training camp. Dan Campbell likes what he sees from wide receiver Isaac Tesla. Unfortunately, I just don't think we can rely on Tesla for fantasy. Bo Nix said he could be a full go right now if he wanted to. Bo Nix, good stuff. Saints defensive end Cam Jordan re-signed. One-year deal. This could be his last year in the NFL. Chris Olave scheduled to get off blood thinners for his blood clot on June 29th. Ross Jackson of LouisianaSports.net wrote about Oscar Delp, the rookie tight end for the Saints. He had a standout day at Saints camp. Remember, their wide receivers are hurt, so that helps Oscar Delp get targets. And now he's going to be used more in the Saints offense than he was in the Georgia offense. Georgia offense didn't really use Oscar Delp very much. And Saints running back Devin Neal has a, quote, little injury, end quote. We're going to take a break on fantasy football today. When we come back, I have your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. We'll be right back after this.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube? Because I was so amazed by how quickly he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube while I was on vacation.
Make it quick, young man.
Aw, see? Pop-Pop trusts you.
I think we should call a doctor.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Hey parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
You forgot one. Back.
What do we got?
RJ Harvey's clear with a shoulder injury.
Okay. RJ Harvey's clear with a shoulder injury. Thank you, Jamie.
Nice job, Micro Machines, man.
Hey, someone has to be Dan today. All right. Here come the emails from Justin. Rank these sleeper running backs for me. Okay. Looking for decent floors if I punt RB. It's interesting you're looking for floor here. But Rashad White, RJ Harvey, Chris Rodriguez, Tyjae Spears, and Rico Dowdle. How would you rank Rashad White, RJ Harvey, Chris Rodriguez, Tyjae Spears, Rico Dowdle?
From a floor standpoint?
I guess so. If he punts RB.
The first two for me would be Rashad White 1 and Rico Dowdle 2 from a floor standpoint.
In that order?
Yes.
I'd flip the order, but it's those two for me also.
So I think in the case of Rashad White, you know what you're getting right now. And the ceiling could be he's the best running back in Washington. Same thing for Rico Dowdle, but I think the competition's a little bit stiffer for what he's dealing with.
Austin Eckler averaged 2.9 catches per game with Washington in 2024. That's Austin Eckler, like the best receiving back of his era, basically, or one of them. So I did want to, I don't know that the opportunities are really going to be there for White the way it was in Tampa Bay.
So the two counters I would have for that was Austin Eckler at 29 or 30. And that was also with a different coordinator.
29, yeah. Yeah, it is. It's just Jaden Daniels isn't going to throw as much. He isn't going to throw his running. Might not throw his
running. Yeah, and his receiving core that year was...
same.
A little bit better.
Okay.
Go ahead, and Rashad Dave. White has 3 seasons on his resume. 2 for sure. I think 3 of 50 catches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
He can get there. I'm just worried about just how many carries he can get on top of it. Though
that is 50 catches, by the way, basically. I mean, with
yeah, sure. Yeah,
17
yeah.
times 3 is 51.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
He's been good in gap scheme runs, and I think the Commanders are going to still stick with that. That's an Anthony Lynn specialty. He's still on that staff. And so there's a chance that he might just end up being the better fit for that scheme compared to Krosky Merritt. But I love Dowdle's opportunity. I love that the coaching staff knows what they've got in him. He's not a bad pass catcher himself. I think there's more ceiling with the same floor for Dowdle than there is with Rashad White. I don't think White has the same type of ceiling that Dowdle has.
next email.
Just while we're on the topic, Pops just asked in the chat, has there been any buzz on Catron Allen? Yes, there has. He's had a strong mini camp as well. So I think just the backfield is wide open in Washington. And that's why I gave a slight edge to Rashad White, because it wouldn't shock me if he's just given his resume, mm-hmm. which I think is probably the best resume of anybody in that team right now, mm-hmm. in that backfield, is potentially the starter there.
Yeah, and Andy says, White's yards per carry, I can't get over. I understand he's a pass specialist, but he plays running back. But actually, he's really improved, Andy, in yards per carry. He's become a better rusher over the last few years.
Did he become
5.2 yards per carry in gap runs?
Was the scheme better for him, and was the production just better because the offensive line was better too?
I don't think the offensive line was better last year. I mean, they missed their center for the entire
season. No, I was thinking more the end of the previous year.
Maybe. So yards per carry for White, 3.7, 3.6, 4.3, 4.3 in four mm-hmm. years. Yeah. Okay. And he has, yes, three seasons of 50 or more catches. Next question is from Steve in New Jersey. And he says, dear Patrick, Walt, Willis, and Jalen.
Next.
That's right.
He forgot Jeremy. He forgot Derek.
Are you talking about Jeremy Lin? Because I am wearing my Jeremy Lin shirt right now.
That's a Knicks shirt you're wearing?
Yeah, I only have two Knicks shirts. One of them is a Jeremy Lin shirtsy. What is more important for a fantasy wide receiver one? Being the clear focal point of the offense or having another talented receiver to prevent defenses from keying on him? This is an easy one for me, but I'll let you guys answer.
I mean, I feel like it's both.
No, it's not, to me, it's definitely being the focal point of the offense.
100%.
And just, he brought up Puka Nacua with Davante Adams. I would say that Adams greatly reduced Puka Nacua's touchdown upside. In fact, I think Nacua had like some crazy stat, like half of his end zone targets in the games that Adams didn't play. And there was like three games. But also, one of the reasons I wasn't that concerned, I remember having the debate with you guys, are you concerned about Puka Nacua with Davante Adams? I was like, no, because if you look, Cooper Kupp actually had a huge role in 2024. So I felt like Adams could step into a big role and Puka could still be fine. And Adams really didn't get that many targets. He just got a lot of touchdowns. But I am all about, in fact, who was number one receiver last year? Was it Chase?
Puka.
It was Puka? If you look at number one receivers, like the number one overall receiver, they almost never have a high target number two guy with them. And Adams had 114 targets in 14 games, which is a lot, which is a lot per game, but overall it's 114 targets, not that many.
I mean, you think about the top four guys last year, Puka had a running mate that took a step back in Adams from a target standpoint where he's typically been. Chase with Higgins is usually targeted enough, but not uber targeted like Chase is. JSN had nobody.
Right.
So that's a big, you know, favor for him. And then Amon-Ra St. Brown, you had Laporta missing half the season and J-Mo not doing much in the first half of the season when Laporta was there.
Yeah. So that's Jamie and I say, well, Dave at least said both. So the bottom line is less target competition is better.
Well, I mean, you think about the two of the best players last year, and Trey McBride's targets were fantastic. And at least for me, that's a question mark for this year, is because if Marvin Harrison stays healthy and Michael Wilson can not do what he did last year when he was playing at his best, but obviously build off of that to some degree, then you have a target crunch, plus you have a much better run game.
I think about that all the time with Trey McBride, because, you know, I forgot what I said. It was about 55 routes or something like that late in the season after Michael Wilson had emerged, where they were all on the field together, Harrison, Wilson, McBride, and they all had like a 20% target share, something like that. It's such a small sample size, but I think about that all the time.
I like Bowers more than McBride this year.
I know, and a lot of people do. I said yesterday they're basically back-to-back in ADP, which is insane when you think about what they did last year. But they led the NFL in pass attempts, the Cardinals. They didn't have any games really where all three guys were healthy and all three guys were established. But then I go, man, it's been 2.5 years of Trey McBride being this heavily targeted? Is that really going to change? And I have a big internal struggle with that. Dave, you're kind of like...
I don't think he averages 10 targets per game, but I think he averages over 8. I think he's just too good of a player. And as long as Brissett's the quarterback, he's got a track record of leaning on his tight ends that goes back to 1972. it's going to be there for McBride. I don't mind that you like Bowers better. I think he's got tons of upside himself. But even in Bowers' rookie year where we loved him, he was awesome. McBride averaged more PPR points per game than he did. It was basically dead even, but he had a little bit more, and he had a little bit more in terms of target shares, 9 to 8.5, something like that, between the two of them. They're both really good. Whichever one I can get second is the one I want.
By the way, you mentioned 1972. The Dolphins won the Super Bowl in 72.
How many losses did they have?
They also won in 73, right?
They did.
Just saying, the last time the Knicks won the championship, the Dolphins also won the Super Bowl. So, Dolphins fans, there's some reason to be optimistic. So the parade is going on right now. If your team won the championship, would you go to the parade?
Yes, I did.
You did? Which parade? You went to
when I was a kid, the first two Chicago Bulls parades and rallies at Grant Park in Chicago.
Oh.
I was a kid.
I was thinking of things I'd rather do than go to the parade today. And I thought dentist, lobotomy, vasectomy, just many things.
You can have another vasectomy.
Wow. Snip, snap. I hate parades. I would never go to a parade. Ooh, never.
What if your kid wanted to go?
I'll go to the Magic Kingdom parade and watch the fireworks. Other than that, I'm parking. Just everything about parades is just a mess. They pass by you for 5 seconds and then what? Oh, I got a video of it on my phone. Not for me.
What if you were in the parade? Would you go?
No, I would call it sick. What's your answer, Jamie? Are you a parade guy?
I would not go to a parade. I actually regret because I didn't know it was happening and I had my whole family with me. But when Florida won the national championship, we were in San Antonio. They went down the river after the game, like late at night. Wow. And had I known that they were going to do that, I would have gone out there to watch it.
Small. Yeah, that's fun. Next question. Devin, a longtime listener, wants a short segment about possible punishments for a last place finish. I really like the idea of having the last place guy or girl go to a local comedy club and have to do a 5-minute set on open mic night.
Did you see the one recently where the person had to go trick-or-treating?
Yes. Amazing. Amazing. In June. He's going trick or treating. So
you imagine somebody showed up at your house
and dressed up. I forgot what he was dressed up as. It was so funny.
Did he have a sign or anything that says "Lost my fantasy league"? Have to go trick or treating.
No, you can't do it like that. You just got to go show up.
I think he told people, if I remember. But that was so funny, and it went viral. I never know if anything's real these days, but I'm pretty sure that was real. The open mic night is arguably better. I love it. You guys have any other suggestions?
I always default to the one that I heard about a league in Boston where the last place team has to pay for a bus ride to Omaha, Nebraska, and then take the bus ride from Boston to Omaha. And then he can get back any way he wants, but that's the punishment.
Yeah. Schneier likes to have the loser take flights around the country all day. Like they book connecting flights and just spend a day on an airplane, basically multiple airplanes.
I mean, my wife has done that to get like her mileage.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She flew to California once just to get her. She had like a certain amount of, cause she flies a lot for work. So she had like to get like a certain status. So she like needed one more trip. So she,
picked California instead of like Orlando.
I don't know. No, she had a mile.
She needed miles, bro.
I see.
Come on. All right. Next question is from
Ace. At least get In-N-Out Burger while she was there.
I think she just turned around and came out. I remember what this is a long time ago.
Wow. That's dedication to the...
I mean, her punishment is being married to me. So that's
it is a punishment. this is from Ace, and he says he's thinking about draft day discounts. He's thinking about Tyrone Tracy. He loves his ADP with Scadaboo being, coming back from an injury and, just being so physical. And his crazy last pick is Devon Vele. You got Jordan Tyson, who's had health concerns, and Chris Olave, who's had some health issues as well. So he likes Devon Vele. What do you guys think, Jamie? What do you think about Vele?
I mean, it's it's not a bad theory, just going with the idea that both guys are banged up and clearly Kellen Moore's receivers have a chance to play well. He had an opportunity last year and didn't really take advantage of it. I know he got hurt, but I think anytime you're talking about receivers based on injuries and hoping that guys step up, you really got to get lucky. So like, I know he had a good mini camp, Ryan Flannoy, you know, had gotten some buzz because of maybe, okay, what if there's an injury and George Pickens with the contract situation, like that is a similar type scenario, you know? So you could probably look at a lot of number three receivers and say, if this happens, if injury happens, you know, Troy Franklin, for example, if Cortland Sutton or Jalen Waddle get hurt, you know, Franklin had 100 targets last year and was somebody that had some buzz. Trey Harris, just somebody mentioned in the chat, you know, that's somebody that can have a big opportunity if Quentin Johnston or Ladd McConkey, and McConkey now dealing with a hamstring injury, if that materializes. So there's probably a lot of Devon Vaylay types that we can go through on every roster and say, okay, this guy's got a chance, just based on what their opportunity could be in some pass friendly offense. I'll give you the flip side of it, which didn't work out really, but Yoshivas in Cincinnati. Like, we love that offense. We love that passing attack. Yeah. We, you know, see at times T. Higgins misses because of injury. I think it was 2 years ago, Jamar Chase missed a couple games. It doesn't always, you know, come to pass that that guy steps up or that particular player steps up. Now, in the case of Vele in the scenario that they're laying out, it's two receivers missing, so maybe that changes some things. But I think if you're just talking about like wide receiver handcuffs, like, you got to have a really deep bench to carry somebody like Devon Vele after a draft in a regular 12-team league.
I would think of him as somebody that I could pick up off the waiver wire. So why draft him when I can just go get him if he has a good week one?
That obviously makes the most sense. But clearly, if we get to week one and Olave's still dealing with the blood clot situation and Jordan
Tyson, then we're drafting Vele. Yeah.
Then everybody's drafting Vele.
So. Okay. Right. I'd love to draft a Raiders wide receiver in every single draft.
Oh, it's enough on Devon Vele. All right.
No, I'm not talking about Vele. I'm talking about a
late round. I think in the case of the Raiders, like, that's an easy, like, I took Trey Tucker yesterday, Jalen Naylor went, I think, a round before. And I've seen Jack Besh get drafted quite a bit. Say it, Adam.
You're Besh.
I've heard a lot about Dante Thornton. We're all over the place with these guys.
There's easy. I think it's easy to take a swing at that because that you could see happening. I think the same thing, you know, once we get to camp and it's hopefully Chris Bell, but, you know, Jalen Tolbert's the one that got buzzed recently. Malik Washington's got some buzz. You know, somebody's going to take a chance on a Dolphins receiver. I would much rather do that on draft day than I would Devon Vele right now.
One of our producers, Sam, has a punishment. He says, my league punishment is you have to bowl a 300 and every hot dog you eat is 10 pins off your score. You stay until you eat enough hot dogs to bowl a high enough score to leave. Wow.
That's a punishment?
Yeah, man. I'd have to eat like 17 hot dogs, maybe more. That's a lot of hot dogs.
Well, I saw Sam's draft yesterday, so we might have to start calling him Oscar Mayer.
Nice troll job there. All right, we're going to take a break. We have a great question about drops and the Jaguars and Broncos letting down Lawrence and Nix last year. We'll read it when we come back on Fantasy Football Today.
Isn't it crazy that America is turning 250 years old? I mean, look how far we've come. Now, we've got coolers in our sofas, light up cup holders, and power articulating headrests. When it comes to furniture worthy of this major milestone, Bob's Discount Furniture has all the styles all of America wants at the everyday low prices we deserve, backed by tons of 5-star reviews. Check out the Sedona Power Reclining Sofa, a genuine leather one-stop shop for relaxation with built-in charging, cup holders, and supportive Bobapedic seats, perfect for lounging in the AC all day. You can even complete the look with the matching love seat and recliner. Throwing summer parties? The Homeworks dining set features comfy Bobapedic seating and clever storage built right into the table and bench. Or customize your space with the customer favorite modular Bob Sectional. It has over 1,000 five-star reviews, family-proof construction, and wireless charging for hundreds less than the competition. At only $250 per piece, building your dream sectional is incredibly affordable. Celebrate the 4th at Bob's. It's where America shops for furniture.
Not all electric vehicles are designed the same. Toyota Electric is built to work for you. Grounded in years of proven engineering, it feels intuitive from the start. The Toyota BZ for smooth, everyday driving. The BZ Woodland for all-terrain capability. The all-new CHR for an instant, responsive drive. It's not just electric, it's Toyota Electric. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
Question here from Jake from Clayton, California. Have you been to Clayton, California, Dave?
No.
Okay, well, now you can
not
add
knowingly.
It. You can add it
to Clayton, Georgia.
Oh, how was it?
It's great.
Okay. Dear John, Jack, and Josh. These are, I'll spoil it. They're former Raiders head coaches. If drops are John Gruden?
Not John Madden.
Oh, probably. Well, which one was J-O-N?
John Gruden.
Gruden. If drops are generally considered inconsistent year to year, why aren't we talking more about the unusually high number of drops that Trevor Lawrence and Bo Nix dealt with last season? The league average drop rate was 4.22%. Those guys were like 6-7%. They were very high. Let's see. Lawrence was 6% and Nix was not 7%. No, he was. He was 7%. Trevor Lawrence, 7%. Trevor Lawrence was 6% the year before. In fact, that's the end of the question. Thank you, Jake from Clayton, California.
You didn't butcher that at all.
Trevor Lawrence has the highest drop rate in the NFL by far since entering the league 5 years ago. His drop rate is 5.9%. I say it's his drop rate. It's his receiver's drop rate. The second highest drop rate belongs to Bo Nix and Ben Roethlisberger at 5.3%. So Lawrence is at 5.9%. After that, it's three guys at 5.2% over the last 5 years. Ryan Tannehill, Jaden Daniels, and Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones has had a really bad receiver drop rate throughout his career, and it was a lot better last year, and he did better last year. So another guy who had a big improvement in drop rate last year was Aaron Rodgers. 2024, Rodgers, his receivers had a 6.7% drop rate. Last year, 3.8%. And it didn't do anything for his stats. His completion percentage went up a little, but his yards per attempt was exactly the same. So, Dave, what do you make of that? It is a good point. The receivers really let Lawrence and Nix down last year. What do you make of it?
If there's evidence that it was a one-off year for these quarterbacks, then sure, we can include that in part of the calculus for how we project them. But if you're telling me that it's been a high rate for Trevor Lawrence and Bo Nix really since they've been in the league, then it's just something I should expect to see continue.
Yeah, I don't know. I only looked at maybe 15 passes of Trevor Lawrence to see what was up. I guess maybe I would say some of the short balls he might put a little more touch on, but these are really just bad drops, you know, like some really bad drops. So I don't know. It's weird for somebody to have this bad of a drop rate, especially because his receivers have changed so much throughout the years. I don't know what to make of it.
I'm trying to get a look right now at what the drop rates have been year over year for Trevor Lawrence. And it's been like right around 6% pretty much every year. Last year was 7%.
Right.
I think Brian Thomas Jr. might've had a hand in that, pun intended. And Bo Nix was at 4.4 as a rookie and then up to 6% last year. I think Troy Franklin had a hand in that because Franklin, if I recall, had a very high drop rate last year. Sutton was also up there in drops.
Yeah.
One of those guys just got replaced by Jalen Waddle.
Look, it's a good point.
That should help Bo Nix out, but we're already kind of counting that for Nix, that having an improvement at wide receiver will help him. And we'll see how Trevor does with this receiving core going into its, I don't know, can we say second year when they were only there? You know, Washington emerges and Myers was traded there.
I mean,
sure, their second year, there's big time improvement there and a chance for that number to go back down.
All right. This is from Dave from Chicago.
Here I am.
He says, hey, Christian, Weston, Tyler, and Gio.
Christian Weston.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to think I would have gotten this even if I didn't see the answer. Christian Pulisic, Weston McKinney,
nice.
Gio Reyna, and I don't know who Tyler is. I'm not that big of a fan.
Algier.
Tomorrow, 3 o'clock, USA, let's go. All right, he's got to keep two as long as you want, no penalty. It is a super flex league, 4 point per passing touchdown, three receivers, PPR, keep two. Bijan, JSN, Drake May.
Oh.
It's super flex?
Yeah,
super
4 point flex. Per passing touchdown.
I'm not giving back Bijan and JSN. As good as May is.
Wow.
Oh, man. I don't think there's a right answer here.
Or a wrong one. All right. I would probably do Bijan and May, but.
Yeah, I can't give May back. I think I'd go May and JSN and throw Bijan back.
There you go. So that's it. Yeah, that's the least helpful answer we've ever given. All right. Question here. Who's this from? Who is this from?
I wonder if you could trade two, if you're allowed trades, like if you trade two of those for Josh Allen and you just keep the third.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Right, because you can't, you know.
So May and.
But now you're trading a player that you wouldn't otherwise be allowed to keep. I don't know if that's cool with the commish.
This is
Adam from, will probably allow it, but Heath would not.
I don't know. Well, if you keep. You know, if you trade a person, if you trade those two players, then this person who acquired them has to keep them. And then it's fine, right? All right, question from Shapiro. Did I get that wrong? Did I?
I mean, I personally don't think it's right for you to be able to trade a player you wouldn't otherwise keep. Like, you'd have to first declare your keepers, and then once the keepers are declared, you can trade them away.
Okay. This is a question from Shapiro. Which running back duo is more likely to become the closest thing to a true 50-50 split this season? Kyren Williams and Blake Corum, or DeAndre Swift and Kyle Manongai?
Yes.
The Rams duo.
Just give some numbers. Last 11 games of 2025, that's when the split began for the Rams. Kyren Williams, 15 carries per game. Blake Corum, 10.5. For the Bears, it was also the last 11 games. DeAndre Swift, I don't have carries per game, but he was on pace for 237 carries. And Manongai was on pace for 187. Let me do the math. I have to do
187 on a.
So that's okay. 187 divided by 17. I got that, Dave. It's a pretty close based on last year. It was Kyren Williams 15 carries, Blake Corum 10.5. It was DeAndre Swift 14 carries, Kyle Manongai 11 carries. So similar.
Maybe my worry is that Kyren loses the grip and it flips, and it's Corum that's getting 15 carries and Kyren's getting 10.5. And that's
which,
why I said Rams.
Which backup running back do you take first, Manongai or Corum?
Manongai, but it's close.
I believe I have Manongai higher.
All right.
I do.
Wait, did I take a second break ever?
No, I don't think you have yet.
No.
Oh, boy. All right, second break. Let's do it. We got a question for Professor Chaos when we come back. What did we think of my Butters impression there?
Weirdly timed.
Well, it's a question from Professor Chaos, and he says, I know you're bummed about the theft of Greater Late, so I give you this gem. Are these players going to take a big jump or a big dump? Please take credit for this as I don't want it. I don't want it either, Professor Chaos. I don't really see myself saying that, but you never know. I'll throw it in once or twice. All right, this question is from Maggie. It's a keeper question. Undrafted players in this league can be kept in the 10th round. If both players fall into the category, they become rounds 9 and 10 picks, so you'll see more than one player listed as a round 10 pick.
Good.
And managers can only keep players twice. This is a half PPR super flex league. I can keep two. Who are you keeping? Trevor Lawrence in round 5, Jackson Dart in round 10, Trey McBride in round 2, Emeka Buka in round 6, Tedrell McMillan in round 4, Michael Pittman in round 10, Kyle Manongai in round 10. I'm going to go ahead and say
super flex?
Yeah,
dart, super flex, half PPR.
Dart in round 10, right? Start with that.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So around 10? Dart, Jackson Dart.
Easy, yeah.
Okay, so I'll give you the other options again. I don't think we're going to do Pittman or Monongai in round 10. I don't think, but
no.
Trevor Lawrence round 5, Trey McBride round 2, Emeka Buka round 6, Tedderall McMillan round 4.
The only one of those guys that I think you're getting good value on is Lawrence.
It's either Lawrence or Buka. And since it's super flex, I would just take the two quarterbacks and then load up everywhere
else. Yeah. All right. This is from Josh. Oh, how about this? Dear Christian, Tyler, Weston, and Follerin. I don't know how to pronounce that guy's name.
What are the odds that either that is the same email?
No.
And you just forgot to take it out? Or that they actually had the same names?
It's the second thing. Oh, I took 3 breaks, I'm being told. Thanks, guys, for letting me down on that. I don't remember the second break at all.
I don't remember.
You know, the audience has been asking for more breaks. So it's nice that we can finally deliver.
All right.
Take a break after this question.
Josh is saying,
like the weekend,
there's a song called Big Iron. It's a classic Western ballad sung by the great Marty Robbins. It tells the story of a duel between the outlaw known as Texas Red and a nameless Arizona Ranger on a mission to bring Texas Red to justice. The song includes these lines. The morning passed so quickly, it was time for them to meet. It was 20 past 11 when they walked out in the street. In other words, the duel happened at 11:20 a.m. after the morning had passed. This proves that Adam is right and 11:30 is the afternoon.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does. This is Big Iron.
It said the morning passed so quickly, meaning that the morning is still going on.
No, it passed, and then 11:20 came, and they dueled. Come on, are you going to argue with the great Marty Robbins?
So if I say this show has passed so quickly, is it over?
Yeah. No.
It is?
Oh, crap. I think you're right. All right, this last one is from Justin. This is in response to something Heath was talking about.
Now, if you said you passed gas, that's over.
That is over. Exactly. Yeah. Oh, maybe. All right.
Honest question. How many times do you fart during a show?
During a show?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. I mean, today it's 0.
No, like it's just it doesn't have to be every day.
I don't know what the average, this is horrible. This is disgusting.
Why is it disgusting?
Nobody wants to hear about this. This is disgusting. And the answer is less than you.
Oh, I fart all the time.
Yeah,
know,
you do.
I know. Yeah, fart guy. All right, from Justin. Subject line is Justin Herbert versus Jalen Hurts. Because I think Heath was making the case for, as an NFL quarterback, NFL, for Hurts over Herbert. To give Heath some credit in this argument, people all the time say Jalen Hurts is nowhere near the level of guys like Justin Herbert. Sure, he doesn't throw as pretty of a ball as Herbert. However, if Herbert is that much better than Hurts, then shouldn't he need the... why should he need the same type of situation as Hurts does? If these guys need great situations like Hurts has to succeed, then they cannot be multiple tiers above Hurts, who has already shown he can succeed in this league. Also, I would argue outperforming the second greatest quarterback of all time in the Super Bowl should hold more weight than a 1 p.m. game against the Raiders in the regular season.
It's a good way of putting it.
I think the problem when you look at two guys like this is you have their prospects coming into the league, and that sticks with people in some cases forever. So yes, a lot of it is the aesthetics. When Justin Herbert throws the football, he looks better throwing the football than Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts has benefited from being surrounded by a lot of great talent, mostly on his offensive line, where Justin Herbert has sort of struggled with that. But Jalen Hurts just gets crapped on way too much. It's ridiculous. I mean, like, obviously, his win-loss record speaks for itself. He's a Super Bowl champion. He's done everything he's needed to do since coming into the NFL as not a first-round talent, as someone that's had to change schools and prove himself at a different place after being benched, you know, for a guy who probably has lesser talent overall but more of a pedigree. So I think just in the case of what Jalen Hurts has accomplished, it clearly speaks for itself. He's also in a spot – in a city that gets much more scrutiny than Justin Herbert. You know, you're in a bigger media market. You're in an East Coast city versus a West Coast city. So that's always going to get a little bit more attention, especially if you live on the East Coast. So there's a lot that just, I think, goes into it. But look, Justin Herbert's got still a lot to prove. And I'm sure if you just, you know, I know Heath does this a lot, you know, just the blind resumes of, you know, would you take player A or player B? Justin Herbert's resume is not as good as Jalen Hurts. It's just, it is. I hope it gets there. I think it can. But, you know, look, it's just one of those things where people unfortunately look at certain players from where they start. No matter what happens, you still have those preconceived notions.
It's also two different styles. Jalen Hurts isn't the same type of quarterback as Justin Herbert. That goes into what you were saying, Jamie, about like who they were coming out. And it just so happens that in Philadelphia, they've done an amazing job of tailoring their offense to Jalen Hurts' strengths. And the Chargers have done the exact same thing, or at least they've tried to, with Justin Herbert. I would pose this question. I don't know if this is the best way to judge, and you're certainly not going to judge him this way compared to other quarterbacks. But if you took Jalen Hurts out of Philadelphia and you put him in LA and you put him in the same system that the Chargers have been running, how would he do? And I would say he probably wouldn't do as well as Justin Herbert. And if you took Justin Herbert and you put him into the same offense and the same style that the Eagles are running, how would he do? I would say that I don't think he'd be as good of a runner, but I think he'd be a little bit better as a passer. There'd probably be better efficiency there. And so maybe by that guessing metric, you could say that Herbert's better than Hurts in it, just by switching their teams. But based on how they are and how they're used and the offense they're in, I think there's no question that Hurts is just has that perfect fit.
One stat that really shocks me is that Justin Herbert has a lower career interception rate than Jalen Hurts. When I think about Hurts, I think the best thing he does is he just doesn't turn the ball over. He's conservative in that sense, and people criticize him, I guess, for not taking shots enough, but he wins games because he doesn't turn the ball over. But amazing, I didn't realize Justin Herbert has a 1.7% career interception rate, and that's after last year when it was actually a career high 2.5%. Jalen Hurts is at 1.9% in his career, and that's after two straight years where it's 1.4 and 1.3. So in three of the last 4 years, Jalen Hurts set a 1.4 interception rate or lower, which is amazing. But I was surprised. Justin Herbert really doesn't turn the ball over much either, at least not with, I don't know about fumbles, but at least not with interceptions.
I'm going to go back and watch the last, I don't know, 25 episodes of our show and see if I can figure out your fart face.
You know, it's probably a little shoulder raise, I would guess. Now you don't know what's happening when I raise the shoulders. Am I getting angry or am I just getting a little more relaxed? Thanks, everybody, for watching and listening. Hope you have a great 3-day weekend, baby. Happy Juneteenth. And we'll talk to you on Monday on Fantasy Football Today. See ya.
Podcasts.